So we're in number nine, hey?
Yes, we are on 9A.
9A.
And before we plow wholeheartedly into that, of course, I want to ask if anybody has anything they wish to talk about or discuss or dreams or whatever. Because the beginning always is there for anybody to talk about anything or something that's bothering them in life, whatever.
Anything other than what I brought up already.
Okay. I guess with
so
that.
I exercised the sleep number from 14A.
Oh, fantastic. It sounds like you did.
It does it. Thank you.
The first couple of minutes you're on the phone,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
And what did you discover?
I discover that I do fall asleep quite quickly, but wake up after 3 hours of sleep and cannot go back again.
Okay, what specifically did you do? You were paying attention to going to sleep. What were you doing exactly?
I did it like the process of doing a reading, exercising, okay. Going out of my own way.
How do you do that?
How do I do that? I tell it to myself.
Okay.
And then pictures arise.
Okay.
Different than the daily film to finish, yes. So that's at least a start for art now.
So it's something you think you need to keep trying before you can see more about what it's doing?
Yeah. And I started, took on the writing letters to the eternal self again.
Good idea.
I do that in the evening too. Yeah. Not each evening, but two times a week, something.
How long have you been doing it?
Now since New Year I started again. Yeah. Before there was a pause from about 4 months, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So have you noticed any changes in the experience or the process as you're writing? I mean, is it just you writing still to, you know, dear so-and-so, or is there anything else going on when you do it?
It's basically what you just said.
So, okay.
Yeah. So, I do write down uncertainties or, yeah, and every time I write, I welcome every input. Yeah. And in
what
general,
input?
To consider. To broaden my view.
Are you saying you're getting a response?
Yeah, sometimes. Not immediately.
Okay.
I suddenly have an idea how to proceed something I don't know, or and things get clear in a way they are not clear before. That's nice. Somehow.
Okay, anybody else have something to say?
Oh, I've been practicing the one of focusing on the eternal self of others. It really helps me a lot. I enjoy that one. it almost makes it easier for me to sense myself that way, because as I'm looking at other people that way, it becomes more evident.
Anybody else been practicing anything?
This one is on my list, Andrew.
Good.
I want to practice that too. Yeah.
I've been practicing what? Imaging a lot.
I've been practicing is converting 14A into a workbook.
Oh yes, you said you were going to do that.
Yay!
And it's a work in progress. I'm going through it passage by passage, and a couple of things became clear as I was laying it out as a workbook. Those of us who have been around for a while know what the terms mean that Roger writes about. And so it's becoming necessary to prepare a bit of a glossary so that people can check what the word is meant to mean in the context that it's used. And the other one is to give some guidance on by asking some questions and in providing space, certainly providing space for notes, but asking questions and making guiding where the reader may on their own explore their own thoughts on what it says. So that's what I'm putting together now.
Now, how do you provide the definitions of these things?
Well, I'm gonna be relying on you guys. It's what I'm doing is I'm sorting out the terms that jump out at me and say, geez, you know, if you go with the average dictionary meaning, that may not be helpful at all. And then what I'm doing is grabbing at what I think is the intended meaning within the context. And I'm going to be, when I get to the point where I can share it with you, I'm going to be counting on you guys to say, oh, geez, yeah, that's what he meant, or no, that's not what he meant. So I'll be needing your help.
You might just have a Macintosh computer, do you?
No, unfortunately.
Curious. The search function in that is good, and you can find my words within documents. I don't have that much luck doing that with the research.
I have no problem doing that with my computer.
You see?
It's easy. You just go on the find search.
You do what?
You tell it to find a certain word, and it'll show you every place that word is.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. I don't know why it didn't work that way for me. All right.
So I'll be asking for your help when I get to the point that there's enough there to share. And that in itself has been a real eye-opening exercise, going through it, combing through it, and looking for the words that will need some definition, because the casual reader won't necessarily know what we're talking about.
Did you find the glossary that is in one of the books Roger wrote?
I don't know about that. When was that?
Emergent Life has a glossary in it, and the one before that.
One before that too?
I think so.
Okay. But in Emergent Life, also on the side, there is space that we wrote down certain definitions, how Roger used the word by then.
Okay, I'll check those out. Thank you.
And I've also been working on a new glossary for just in general. So.
Oh, cool.
So when I run across words, I just add it into that one. It's not real big yet, but I'm slowly, you know, getting more and more of the definitions of things.
Well, I'm doing my best to keep it simple.
Well, that's always helpful, because that's to simplify it means that more people will understand. Okay, so
what experience did you do, Misty, on minding?
I would do things like hold a rose in thought and then make the rose go from a bud into a full rose, and then I would smell the rose, and then I would change the colors of the rose and all those kinds of things. Then I would allow the petals to fall off and follow them. And so I was just exercising my ability to do that kind of thing. So like in meditation, what they're usually trying to do is to stop the mind from doing anything. And imagination is trying to allow the mind to focus and do a particular thing. So in meditation, they'll say, well, focus on a flame, or focus on your breathing and stuff along those lines to quiet the mind. But we're not really trying to quiet the mind. We're just trying to focus the mind. And so that is what I was practicing.
And there's a big difference there, too.
I have two people talking. I don't know what was said.
I was going to say that there was a big difference between quietening the mind and focusing the mind. And we're continuing to have some exposure by people who are doing a bit of Buddhism, and they're all about quieting the mind, and it's trying to be diplomatic about pointing out the difference.
Well, that was why I was experimenting with stuff like that, to be able to make simple exercises for people to understand the difference between the two. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to come up with different examples where you could say, absolutely, this is what you'll do, you know, like with the rose or something. Another one I use is like walking through a field and running your hands through the wheat as it grows and feeling it and feeling the movement, all that kind of stuff. So there's a number of different ways you can do it.
What was Roger's definition of classification again?
I didn't hear what you
said. Which was his option to meditation. Remember, suscitation?
Oh, suscitation. Let me think.
I mean, I think it must be along the lines of focusing, like you're talking about. But I can't. I always forget.
Yeah, that makes two of us. I'm not
That's
really.
Okay. I'll look it up.
Angela, I thought it was like resuscitation, where you actually focus a re-image, that you can actually focus what you, if you get it into communion with your eternal being, you get to see the big picture, and then you can look back. Just because go forward. Resuscitation, I believe, is that imaging that you get of what you see is the big picture and how you get there, how it evolves.
Well, I have it in my glossary, so I will send out what I have on that so far if you want.
Okay, thanks. Thank you very much, both of you. Yeah, that helps. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we are on Pericope 9A, Preparing to Awaken Your Eternal Self, Abiding Self, Part 1. And we're going to start at 1 again and take it with out just running over these things, but really exploring them and trying to gain the awarenesses available here. So with that, Andrew, I'm going to allow you to do your thing.
Preparing to awaken your eternal self, abiding self, part one. So, by the way, Misty, the way this is written with a slash between eternal self, abiding self, I had taken these to be somewhat different, but does the slash mean that they're the same thing?
This is how he set it up. I do not know. What do you think?
Okay.
I think so.
Okay.
I think both are ongoing. Maybe they are simultaneous somehow.
So number one, awakening your eternal self is not a shift from doing to being, nor is it a change from thinking to awareness. It is, however, a condition of communion, which, like dreams, incites direct communication and understanding through visions and realizations. It's as if the whole world is at your door knocking to be let in. It is not a matter of knock and it shall be opened unto you. It is that the whole world is knocking, asking to be let in. But unfortunately, until now, you have shut the world out as a way to focus on self-discovering and self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So my first question is in the second run of that third run of that sentence. It is, however, a condition of communion, which, like dreams, incites direct communication. With what?
With
it says direct communication, but I'm not sure what the communication is going between.
The communion between eternal self and personal self.
Okay. Okay.
Anybody else have any questions on that or anything they want to discuss?
Well, I think it's worthwhile dwelling a bit on the notion that the whole world is at your door knocking to be let in. And
yeah.
it's there all around us. And he's suggesting here that we've shut ourselves out from that as we tried to figure out who the hell we were and how to be aware of ourselves. And that kind of ties to lots of the discussion we had over time, that if you want to know what's going on in your life, look around you, and you will see your life all around you. I was resistant to that or didn't understand that.
Yeah, well, most people think that they need to focus inwardly. And what Roger always said was, you have to focus within the without. So about everything that goes on around you.
Yeah. And that seems to be the key part of this passage, is that it's all around us all the time. It wants it. It's all there, ready to come in.
Well, I'd like to see a cartoon of that or a drawing. I mean, it's such a great image, and I think it would really make, by some creative artist, a really good difference between a meditator and an awakened eternal communion self.
So draw one.
Awakened self.
So draw one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I got a million of them. I did cartoons. That was my invention. And I drew some. But this one, I think, is, maybe Patrick can do it. Because this fits with the book he's writing. It's really nice. It's so good for, I've changed one of the things. Not many are called, but few are chosen. I change that to many are called, but few choose themselves. Many are called, but few choose themselves.
Oh.
themselves, you know. First of all, you have to start with yourself, but also that there's more than one of you. So, you know, that's the beginning of the many selves, many being the personal self, eternal self, resplendent, illuminated self. Yeah. Anyway, I'm just saying, yes, I agree, but not me. How about you, Misty? You're a good drawer.
Yeah, in all my free times. But
yeah. What are you doing? Never mind.
Just know that I'm busy.
The big difference is... Oh, go ahead.
No, just know that I'm busy. Go ahead, Andrew.
Just saying the big difference is what's missing in this, I think the word is missing, it's implied. It's in the, what's it, third to last line. It's not a matter of knock, which means like you knock and the door shall be open to you. It's like the image there is, to me, is like somebody who's shut out from all the great stuff of the world and you have to knock to be let in. This is saying it's almost like you're the privileged thing that the world is trying to get to. It's different. It's a very different place.
You know, I did a completely different take.
The last Pirico had the picture. He said, we're just sitting there not answering the door. He said, are you courageous enough to answer the door?
Oh, is that what the last paragraph said? I didn't remember that.
Yeah, I love that line.
You were saying,
I'm
Sharon?
I'm sorry, Sharon, what were you saying?
No, I just was saying I get something completely different from this section. It seems like Roger's saying, you know, what he always was saying is that everybody's too lazy or won't change. They won't change. They just keep living their life the same way, discontented and trap set. We won't acknowledge the fact that we're really making ourselves discontented and unhappy and look at that and make and be who we are authentically and accept the fact that we can put visions out by communing with our eternal being. We can have visions of what we are asking or what the universe has already provided for us, but we haven't seen it yet, okay? It's already happened. And it's the perfection of everything. And the universe will provide it for you if you commune with your eternal being. But nobody ever does that. They go off and close off and it's like, and get restricted with religion who tells them, no, you got to do it this way. And everybody's telling you how to do it. And it's all nonsense. It's really already done. It's through our own vision. And we have it the way we need our life to be, or not need, drop that. Okay, I'm going to get beat up for that one. So we vision what the universe provides for us, and it happens. And yes, random crap happens too, but the random crap oftentimes can be just what we exactly need to show us what we're living in our life right at the moment that maybe not be communing with the eternal being. That's kind of what I got through this.
Okay.
But that's just my opinion.
Hey, Sharon, just one question. You don't feel judged by rumble ships, do you?
No.
When you're groaning on the road and they just make all that noise?
No.
Okay, so I promise you, I don't think anybody's beating you on this.
Oh,
rumble
it's
strips.
Just the word me. I'm sorry, I throw that in there, and I don't intend to.
Yeah. So if we make any comments, it's just rumble strips.
I know. Yeah.
All right.
I'm very secure in the way I feel he's speaking.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So moving on to two, we've got Angela. So Angela, would you read two?
Yeah. Each episode of your life has been an adventure in knowing thyself, while holding the world at bay. Letting the world in is not a matter of your serving others or even giving to others. It is a matter of letting the world serve you, which has been misunderstood as ego. Letting the world into your life, living your calling and inspiration, answering the knock at the door, discovering yourself and following your divine purpose and living as a resplendent being are all illustrations of awakening your eternal self. Unfortunately, these awarenesses usually only come together in each episode of life for only brief moments.
Anybody have anything, any comments or sharings on that one?
No, but I think that's a useful, well, just as a useful observation that they come together once every so often in life.
Really? Yeah. Very clear, yeah.
I think we ever spent much time talking about that.
Okay.
How is the letting the world serve you is misunderstood as ego?
Because it's like, who the hell are you that the world should serve you? Why should I serve you? What makes you so damn good?
Okay.
Yeah, what a big ego you have to think that I should serve you. Something, you know, like that.
Hmm.
You're so, I mean, people still don't understand that this is the age of self. They're still in the old serve others, you know, brainwashing. But that's what it's about only. They don't understand that it starts with yourself. I always tell people it's the airplane principle. Oxygen mask on yourself first, and then your neighbor. Of course, you're going to die, and you won't be any use to them if you don't put the oxygen mask on yourself first. So that helps people to understand that you're not supposed to serve others instead of yourself, which is what I always thought.
Yep, that's good old Catholic way.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep, I'm still a Republican.
Okay, Karen, would you read
some will judge you for living this.
Some will, but that's their problem.
Yes. All right.
You don't have to take that on.
That's what I finally understood. Yeah.
What other people think of you is none of your business.
All right.
Well, look at Roger. I mean, when he certainly seemed like the embodiment of ego, which he was the eternal gift to others. There wasn't anything wrong with that.
Oh no.
This information is pretty profound that he gave.
He certainly was willing to share.
Yes.
Very freely.
Okay, Karen, would you read three for us, please? Uh-huh.
Number three?
Yes.
If you're willing to let the world in to serve you, then you should create the serving world you truly desire and decide how you are to be served. Does that seem like too much trouble or too much to expect? Is it possible you are struggling to cope with the world simply because you won't answer the door and let the world you desire into the world around you? Does it make any real sense to continue in this way?
And then there were Cloaky Frogs. Okay.
You got to mention the word choice here, but do you think, I mean, when he's saying that part about let the world you desire into the world around you, could you use the word choice for desire, or what do you think? Anybody?
No, it choice is really when you decide how the serving will occur. That's the choice, as you truly desire.
Uh-huh. So that is the same idea?
Well, Well, the choice.
No.
The choice is how you will do it, not the truly desire part.
If you do it in
the choice comes first.
Yes.
Okay. So choice comes first, and then living as you truly desire.
No, it's relative.
It's the action.
No, choice is relative to how you truly desire to be alive.
Yeah, it's relative, but it's an action, isn't it? Making a choice. Choosing is the word I really should use. Choosing. So let's say there's two at the door. Do you let them both in, or do you just say, I'd like you to come in, and then say goodbye to each other? I mean, I'm making a little...
I think that your example is irrelevant for what he's really putting out there. It doesn't come down to...
Angela, you... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Let Misty finish what you said, and then...
You're trivializing what he's saying here. He's going on the grand picture, and you're taking it down to the finite little situation, and it doesn't apply that way. In living that, it would, because the people that would come to your door would be those that would be drawn to serving in the way that you choose to be served, and vice versa.
Okay, so what he's saying is anyone at the door is who you invited, so to speak.
In a sense, but there will be those that you will turn away that you realize, you know, you wish them well and pass them by, as he used to say. But you don't not,
wish them well, okay.
You don't not offer.
Okay. So the offering goes from the door, from those knocking at the door to you, or are you also saying that you offer to everyone knocking at the door?
You are the offer.
Okay, I'm getting...
Yeah, you are the
offering. You are the offering.
You are the offering. It's how you are alive.
Okay. Now, anyone else want to add to this?
Well, you're making it an either or. You're making it about a person instead of acknowledging that the universe provides you as you desire. It's not about person. It's about the way you're living your life.
Yeah. I got that now. I have a word, a quantum word for that that he uses also, like entanglement.
I don't think he's talking about entanglement here.
I think it's more a declaration. The first part is a declaration, how you want to be your life, or how you, yes. And then you act upon this declaration.
You are the living declaration.
Yes.
You are the living declaration.
Right. Yes. And that's the offering itself. Yes.
That's the offering at the door. Yes?
Who you are, yeah. The way you do life.
Okay. I'm just trying to get the analogy, metaphor straight.
The door is just the barrier you set up.
Right.
Yeah, and it's probably a little bit distracting to suggest there's a door.
It's the universe.
Yeah, you're right that there is it's all out there and that we block it.
We build our
and
walls.
We don't even actually can I'd like to add a little bit here.
Sure.
Is it possible
go ahead.
In blocking it, I am creating the world as I shall I say, not necessarily desire, but as I see it, and that none of that world is going to be helpful. That's my declaration. Would it not be then that's the way the world will present to me?
Absolutely.
If it's
right.
Not
helpful. Yes.
You've now, chosen if, to live a life that's discontenting.
That's right. And so if I see the world as there to serve me,
yes.
Period. That's
yeah.
a declaration. The world is there to serve me. Period.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And you image it.
There's no door. It's just I'm open then. It's there to serve me.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I and mm-hmm. as I live, I am instructing the universe how to serve me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And since, as Roger said, we see others, we see the world as we are, then whatever's at the door is as we are. And if it's to serve me, as you said, Patrick, then that's what it'll look like at the door, which doesn't
right.
even have to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Sharon's right. We do have many people that I work with love doors as obstructions. You know, Roger taught us the basic ones: accuse, blame, complain, lie, hide, deny, defend, and justify. You know, I call them the 8 bottom line survival patterns. Most people have a combination of 2 to 6 of those, and
yeah.
they're worth, you know, replacing, which is, you know, I use his cup story about replacing the poison in the cup with your true desire, fresh water. And the fresh water, filling the cup with the fresh water, replaces the poison until eventually there's no more poison left, which was
that's
a
doing
eight bottom
you don't
line.
Have to do.
Oh, you can, yeah,
it's,
some people don't, but I haven't met anybody who doesn't have to do it in my life because maybe I'm doing that.
Right, right.
So,
it's about
if I stop doing it, maybe I'll meet people. What?
It's about recognizing we already have it. Oh, it's really drop the door.
Yeah, right. But Roger is talking about the door, so he's very aware that most people have the door.
The door just represents
okay,
our barriers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our
it
walls.
Also can be the misbelief that you have
right.
to call something you like, or the not understanding that the universe only reacts.
And that make-believe
right.
is, wouldn't
right.
it be, Bone, that even that make-believe is very real for the people who are making believe that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's six on that. I mean, I'm still getting
there okay.
a lot of times.
We are all closing the door at times, and we
yeah.
are open the door at times.
There's a North American
yeah.
idiom that the baby boomer generation would have grown up with, I think, and that's it. We circle the wagons and protect ourselves because of the image we have of the world.
Instead of recognizing we already have the perfection and we
exactly.
only discontent ourselves and separate ourselves by putting up the wall.
Right. Yeah, we become the wall, so we need protection
yeah.
from our wall. Just like Trump wants. We don't
no
that.
Politics
no,
in this, guys.
Oh,
no politics.
Yeah. So,
okay, so anybody else
have
to say?
I just want to share one. I'm sorry, I've been patiently waiting to share something.
Okay, go for
just
it.
Just a personal impression as I read this particular passage, the difference between, you know, going out actively doing something to cause what you desire versus this seems to present that it's all around you. It seems to be like it's taking cause out of your way. Does that make sense?
Well, of course it's taking calls out of it.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But it's the concept itself, in a way, it seems to remove cause. It's subtle. It's just something that struck me as I read it. I normally think of forever living as actively doing constituents that you desire in the moment, and this is almost like don't doing something, and as Sharon was saying, it's there.
Yeah, but Roger used to read a book a day, practically, or every couple days. I think accessing constituents is part of the emergent miracle that I understand. I think that that's not causing anything. That's just, you know, adding constituents to your how you live your life. And I think
constituent is a cause if you're doing it for something else. At least as I understood a couple of years ago. If you're doing that for the nonce, because right now this is how you desire to be and express, and that's it, nothing else, I think you're in a non-causeway.
Yeah.
Okay. Roger did that because that was so authentic to who he was.
Yeah, he was a super thinker, and he found all the, you know, pitfalls of every book he ever read, which is, I think he has to just see if there was anything new, you know, under the sun in there. And after a while, I doubt he found too much.
Yeah, but sometimes he would find things that would set him to thinking and minding, and he would come up with brilliant things out of stuff that you would sit there going, really, you got that out of that? Yeah. And he would.
Yeah. Okay, so you're saying it's the causing the constituents that's the issue, not the constituents.
No.
It's the misbelief. Yeah.
Yeah, the causing, which really is the challenge. Quit causing. Okay.
Even that is a doing. You don't have to quit causing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Just live your eternal self.
It's already there. The perfection is already there.
Yeah, we just keep blocking our way of who we truly are.
Exactly.
What was that word?
I wasn't even doing, but not causing. I think there's a difference between doing your life.
Visualize, imaging. That's imaging.
Offering.
That's
I would
there's
use
nothing
offering.
Wrong. Yeah, offering's good, but I
you
think
do
doing
some,
is
you do. You can. You do everything without expectation or payback or. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's about causing. Yeah.
Without the intention of an outcome.
Right, you do eternally.
You offer. You just offer.
Okay. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, we good on this one?
Yeah.
Okay. So, passage 4. You have imprisoned yourself in your personal world and refuse to let yourself out or let the world in. Why do you suppose that is? Your eternal self has been knocking for a long time. Could it be you're fearful that if you let the world in, that... that you will be more than you
Where
can
are
that,
you?
That it will be more than you can cope with? Are you willing to consider that you must create the gate or doorway to let the world you truly desire into your personal world today? Are you beginning to sense that your eternal self is that gate?
Wow. The eternal self is the door of the gate.
also in communion with eternal self. You open the gate.
The door is open, yeah, because that's what it is.
Yeah, you don't open it, but it is opened.
It is open. Yeah.
Right. You recognize there is no gate.
That means it's open, yes.
I know. Just another way of saying it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Patrick.
Number five. Awarefully communion with your eternal self. You will find yourself in a world you truly desire, that genuinely inspires you. However, in an attempt to discover and know yourself, you have shut out everything you truly desire. Does that make any sense to continue in these ways? What will it take for you to bring your eternal self awarefully into your life and world today? Yes, sir.
Okay. Next is.
Are we ready for the next one?
I guess it's you, Sharon, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Six. Is it possible for you to understand that your eternal self is the world you truly desire, yet you hold that away while you search endlessly to discover yourself? Stop struggling to create your own reality. Create your eternal self as you truly desire. The world you let in will follow your lead and create you as you desire. You throw open the door and awaken your eternal self and world, and maintain that awakening until you communion together in your everyday life and world. Now that's a question mark. And, oh, okay.
No, it should be an exclamation.
Yeah, okay, good. I was wondering. Are you willing to continue that communion process in your life, or will you shut the door and continue yourself in life as usual? That's what he says we always do.
Yes, it is. It really is up to the individual how they will be alive. Okay, Simone.
Okay. Number seven. If you want to maintain your eternal self active in your life today, be careful not to integrate or blend your eternal self and world into your life today. It is vital to communion the two, not merge them, or unite them into a oneness. In the communion, it is a coexistence, huh?
What do you mean by coexistence?
Not merge. Each
is. You got an image of coexistence that you could describe?
Yeah, I mean, I would say Simone is one and Yuri is the other.
Well, I think that what he's saying here is that you communion with your eternal self and you communion with the world.
The world too. Okay. Well, okay.
But if you merge the two together into a oneness, then there is no individuality or anything else. You lose yourself in that.
As I was reading you during the week had to, I just don't realize, I really have, this is a challenge for me, I have to say, you know, I'm maintain an otherness. Sometimes, I don't know, it doesn't seem like it should be so hard, but sometimes I just have a really tough time maintaining it. I don't know about anybody else.
I think it's like anything else that you are learning to do. In the beginning, it seems very difficult, but then as you do it more and more, it becomes, you know, just easy as all get out. It's just the way you are.
It's like I'm trying to do something that is completely not in my awareness. It could be real, but it's not real for me. I mean, it's not something natural, like, oh, yeah, there's that sense of self, and I'll just put a face on it and interact with it. I don't have that. I certainly think Roger had that.
Yeah, and I think that the difference is that for lifetime after lifetime, we've been doing it the way everybody else is doing it. And to do it other is something that we have to really focus on, because otherwise we just fall into the everyday way of doing it that we've always done it. You know, it's just a habit. It's like when you ask somebody, well, why do you do that? Well, because that's the way it was always done. But that doesn't really stand to reason that that's the way it could be done.
Yeah, one of the ways I've experienced all of this is that, you know, I've been, 25, 30 years plus as a consultant. You know, that proverbial hired gun that's brought in to solve problems, and when problems solve, goodbye, we get saranara. And so I end up being quite lone wolf focused. And that's a very lonely existence, or it can be a very lonely existence. And I'm finding today that, you know, some advice from Roger or some of the image he painted for me that I've tried to live. And when he would say, okay, say to yourself and your eternal self, okay, we got this to do. How are we going to do this? Use the we. How are we going to do this? What's the best way we can handle this? And keep on using the we. And I'm finding that's really, really helpful to me now to orient myself that it's not personal path alone that's involved here. It's Pat and masters that are together saying, okay, how are we going to do this? Let's talk about it. Let's think it through. And everything flows much easier when I put myself in that mode. It seems I'm more creative. Stuff just emerges as evidently the next step to do. So it's a much more fulfilling way of doing it rather than a lone wolf consultant that I had developed over the years.
Well, Roger always referred to himself as we.
As the we, yeah. And I think his we was more than just the two of them.
I believe that's true, but he's still...
Yeah.
You never really hear him, though occasionally he does in the writings, but mostly he says we. We feel, we see, we do, we... whatever.
You know, Andrew, is it okay if I talk?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. I had a lot of resistance to all of this, okay? I had a lot of right fighting in my mind. And then to reflect on the fact that when we're infants, about a year old, we stand up on our feet. But we have a lot of fear around that. So we hang on to stuff until we become confident enough to let go and walk. And so when Percent explained to me about dropping the gatekeeper, because we have these gatekeepers and that's memories. And when she explained about dropping the gatekeeper, and sometimes we have to do that before we can even practice this stuff, because our gatekeepers are so strong, they even prohibit us from even practicing before we can let go. And so when I realized this and I started recognizing, because she was pointing out to me that I had issues with trust and love and attitude about plenty of things, okay, that I needed to drop those things before I could even practice. And I don't know, something happened that I could actually start practicing. And I know that's a doing, and I know that's not what Roger said. And I know that if we all had magic wands and were as smart as he was, that we could wave it, and that's a doing also, but we could throw the door open. But sometimes our gatekeepers, huh?
I'm a little kind of, you know, Tim, even in the recent Pericope, he said, you know, you may be an eternal being, but you can't, you know, if you're going to live this, you have to do something. You can't just sit there. So I'm a little not caught up with you on the not do anything.
Well, because when I started talking with the group, it was about how I was wrong because I was talking about doings and all these, and I had to go back and listen to a lot of the tapes to understand and recognize that it's not about us doing anything. It's about us being who we already are and visualizing that the universe does provide for us in the manner that we choose, that we want. And that's where I've had real problems is translating that into just being and being authentic so that the universe can provide. Because I would see things negative. I would see things again. I was right fighting. And right. I was distracting myself by having memories that kept me stuck. And so that's where she helped me in seeing that what I had to do was let that go, and by dropping the gatekeeper. And for me personally, it was a matter of doing some sayings of dropping this and letting and starting, and it, and it, there were positive sayings to help me to see that there's a different way. And that's my table I was holding on to. It's not something that you have to hang on to forever, because then you start to walk.
Well, Roger used to refer to this as when you're riding a bike, sometimes you'll fall off, and then you just get back up and on to the bike.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, there are times, in the beginning especially, that you're going to fall off the bike a lot. And then you just pick yourself up and correct your stance and move on.
So however you need to find that way for you to be authentic to who you are so that you can actually trust that this does exist, Roger knew what he was talking about.
Yes, I think that all of us here would be the choir on that.
But he was very disappointed that we didn't take it that additional step of being it. We could hear him. We could believe that he was right, but we didn't make it over, we didn't drop the door.
We spent more time off the bike than on.
What's that?
We spent more time off of the bicycle than on it.
Yeah. I don't know that he ever, well, for sure, he never got a chance to see me ride a bicycle.
No, you never know.
The one he was trying to teach. Oh, I shouldn't say that either, because he was very adamant he wasn't teaching.
No. He was sharing, but it doesn't mean that you don't learn.
He was sharing. Right.
Everybody
anyway,
okay
I don't
with
know
this?
If that helps at all, Andrew, but it helped me to get to a place where I'm doing visualizations of creating my new business, and I'm very happy. I'm in a content place, and yes, things are bumpy at times, and that's when I have to be, okay, this is all perfect. Otherwise, I can get caught up in a negativity and discontent myself.
Yeah, thanks for the experience here.
Anyway. Your name isn't Sharon for nothing. You're good at Sharon.
Okay, Simone, did you read?
Earlier, Eddie.
No, I mean, are you next or is Andrew next? That was the one you read, right, Sharon?
She
read six.
I thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm seven.
Okay. Okay. So Simone, you do seven.
Seven. Yeah. Seven.
I did seven already.
Well, then it's
okay.
Andrew, isn't it?
Okay. I do it again. So we have context.
Yeah. Why don't you do that?
Seven. If you want to maintain your eternal active, your eternal self active in your life today, be careful not to integrate or blend your eternal self and world into your life today. It is vital to communion the two, not merge them, nor unite them into a oneness. Yeah, that was me.
Okay, then we're up to Andrew.
Okay, number eight, the great mistake you made years ago was merging with your body instead of communing with your body. I actually believe that.
Yep. Short and sweet. Okay. Angela.
Nine?
Yes, please.
Nine. Live yourself and body and your eternal self and life as two separate re-communion personal eternal being constantly interacting. I think I'll read that again. And your eternal self and life as two separate
must be use
eternal being constantly interacting.
I think that's use.
Blend them together, huh?
I think it's use. You and your eternal self and life as two separate yous, communion, personal, eternal being constantly interacting.
U-S-E, use?
No. Pluralize.
Y-O-U-S?
I guess it would be Y-O-U-S. What's the take by everybody? It seems awkward otherwise.
It's just you.
But
two separate you.
Yeah, it's two separate.
It's two separate you communion. That's it.
Yeah, I think you can be plural, I think, if you look it up. Two separate you communion, personal, eternal being. Constantly interacting. It's like a German
if
sentence.
You make it plural, then you if you make it plural, then you blend it up.
Yeah, you're right.
No, it's the other way around. They're not blended. They're not one.
Correct.
They're two
not
you.
To be blended.
Yeah, so they're you.
Communion.
Of yourself and your body, two separate you.
Yeah.
Two separate you, but it's a plural you.
No.
Communion.
It's
plural.
It's yourself, you body.
Yeah. We can agree to disagree, I guess, but I like the way Roger has it.
Okay, let me read the rest and then see if I understand it. Blend them together at your own peril. For all suffering in life comes from this blending or oneness, and you lose much more than you know.
I would say, and your eternal self and life as two separate entities, communioned, personal being, constantly interacting.
I like that. As long as they get that they're both you.
Yeah.
You could put as you at the end.
Or you entities.
Or, huh?
Or as two separate you entities.
Right, right. That's two separate you entities. Communion, personal, eternal being. Seek, constantly interacting. Personal thought, eternal being are two entities, correct?
Well, they're communion.
Right, but there's still two entities.
Yes.
Individual communion.
Yes, that's the point of it, is that they are separate
right.
entities, but they're communion.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a real fun one to describe to people.
I have a question. Okay. At your own peril, can I say also at your own risk?
Yeah, same difference.
Or is that...
Same difference.
That's a nice. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But peril is more correct because you can take risks that aren't perilous. Not all risks are perilous.
Yeah, but it's...
So I think peril is what he's really saying.
Oh, he is, but... For her being the second language, risk might make
yeah.
more sense to her.
Yeah, it's a good synonym, but I don't think it's
not exact.
It's as accurate.
A synonym is never an exact thing.
Right.
For sure. Yeah.
It's amazing that he makes that statement for all suffering in life. Comes from this blending or oneness. That's a very big statement.
It's because it's such a huge struggle.
Yeah, we fight it so much, we resist it so much, but we're also so ignorant of it so much. You know, I mean, some people can resist it without knowing what it is that they're resisting. And I really do think offering it to people, it really, when people get it, it's just such a relief for some people. I mean, they really do wake up to it. It's like, oh.
That's exactly why religion is able to manipulate people right there.
Yeah, because they're suffering and they tell them it's the soul and it's, yeah, all the stuff lying.
Turn it over to God.
Right. Yeah, I've been working with a Muslim boy yesterday and today, and he loved his eternal self. He just loved it. So
okay.
Karen, didn't bother him at all.
Karen, you want to read for 10 for us, please?
Number 10. Do you understand that personal eternal are blended together between episodes of life and in that are lost and are to be separated and communioned in life so as to bring life to both? In the same way, do not blend with your body, communion with your body, lest you lose both your body and your personal self.
Ah, you know, I've experienced this a lot in my Catholic life. This, I called it disembodying later when I studied with Roger, that the soul concept says that the body is, you know, dirty, low, that we're a worm and all that stuff. And I call it disembodying. And when I chameleon with the eternal self, it enlivens the body somehow. I mean, I know I'm not the body, but still the body reflects or somehow expresses, is a better word, the body expresses the eternal self. And if there's like a glow or a, yeah, I use glow instead of flow. So the body glows a little more. Does that make sense?
Sure. I'm not quite sure.
I mean, it is.
Okay. Neither, so it's all right. It's just a discussion. It's just, but I like that he said that when he said between episodes of life, he's talking about after death, correct?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
So what happens is all the data and information is just data and information.
Okay. Right, and it's blended together.
Yeah, it's all together. It's just data and information.
Huh?
It's just data and information. It's not put together into anything.
Right. 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 Okay.
Okay. I believe it's my turn. 11. Instead of blending with your personal body and mind and losing yourself in personal thoughts and language thinking, emotioning, and in everything you do, communion with your body and thoughts, and you will discover your eternal self as an image or vision or resplendent being behind every thought and behind everything you do. Guess everybody's okay with that one, huh?
No.
Not me either.
There is
go ahead.
In the middle, it says communion with your body and thoughts, and you will discover your eternal self. What?
As an image or vision.
But your communion, who's communion with your body?
Your body and mind.
Eternal.
Your thoughts, your minding. Your body and your minding. And in that, you discover, you know, you become your personal self, which is that blend, that body and thoughts together. And in that, if you truly do it, then you can image or vision your eternal self.
You are the embodiment of your eternal self.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's so when you totally communion those that you see the resplendent being behind everything. It's them communioned, and then the resplendent being is what comes out of all of that.
So
go ahead.
Was it possible here to just take a slightly different view here that he's actually speaking to the eternal self, communing with your body and thoughts, and you will discover your image as an eternal being.
You could take it that way. I see what you're saying. Yeah, it is
that
possible.
He's speaking to the eternal being in that middle part of that passage.
Could very well be.
And it looks like you.
and that it's the emphasis, at least the way I've been reading it up until now, is that it's the business of the personal being to open the door and communion with the eternal being. And that's what 1 through 11 seems to be saying that. But here, it's that to me, there's a suggestion that maybe he's talking also to the eternal being to get involved.
Which is you. Yes, it's you.
And then responding thing.
You might start looking at yourself differently.
Yeah, this one, I'm pretty sure that this number 11 is speaking to the eternal being, because it begins with, instead of blending with your personal being or personal body and mind. Who the hell is that to do that other than the eternal being?
I believe you're correct.
And the recognition that you are not your body.
And don't blend with.
And all of a sudden, you start seeing that your body is the manifestation of the communion.
Right. That's what I was trying to say.
Yes.
Before. And that the resplendent being here behind every thought is that awareness that is aware of the communion of the eternal personal. And it's behind everything you do, too.
Yes.
Not just your thoughts.
Especially when you start visioning.
Start what?
When you vision.
Imaginative minding.
Okay.
Yes. Minding, visioning, recognizing entanglement. I mean, it's really amazing to read about mitochondria, and they say these are particles from the stars, and that's what is in our body.
What was that it's word? Reading about what?
Mitochondria.
Mitochondria.
And they know that the mitochondria are from the stars.
Yeah, but I don't know exactly what. Yeah, we're all stardust, so.
And that's
and that's the quantum picture. That's the quantum truth. Our quantum waves go out and hit the edge of the universe and come back and pick up all this stardust. Whatever we desire.
It is the data and information of the universe that actually makes our
life.
Yes, our resplendent eternal being.
Right. Dark matter and energy. Stardust.
Okay. Patrick?
Number 12. There is a time and place for visual awareness. A time and place for describing your images and awarenesses, and a time and a place for clear thinking. But awarenesses without thinking reunites both, and thinking without awareness is of little value. Mm-hmm.
What does that mean, that awareness without thinking reunites both?
You lose the communion.
What are the both?
You lose the communion, they become a oneness.
Oh, awareness without thinking. Because the thinking is the personal self, and so you lose that. Yeah, like people who think life is all meditation. Like my ex-husband, he would meditate 4 hours a day and pretty much wasn't there anymore.
Okay. Sharon.
Can we? Not quite okay yet.
Go ahead, Patrick.
Okay.
The I'm still trying to see if I can pull together an image of awareness without thinking reunites both. So is the suggestion there that awareness just a sec, let me slow down a bit here. Awareness, okay, this time, he's making a point, there's a time and place for each of these things, but they're not necessarily together. But awareness, without thinking, reunites both. So is the suggestion that awareness serves us in a way that thinking doesn't?
I think he's saying you're actually living it.
I think that
you have awareness and you're living it.
You need awareness and thinking.
But he's suggesting awareness leads somehow or other in the process.
Yeah, because he has a flat awareness without thinking, reunites both. So it does away with the time and place for clear thinking, for describing the images and awareness. You'll lose one of those. If you just do awareness, you'll lose clear thinking.
No, it doesn't
reunite.
It says that you don't lose it, it reunites it. You know, there's that re in front of it says that somehow it was separate and it's brought together through awareness.
No, it was, remember when he said that in between lives, everything merges back together? And then when we come into life, we put it into personal self and eternal self. And
life.
There ain't much thinking.
So there's life makes it possible for the two to exist.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. In communion.
So through birth, you separate the two, that you can communion them?
Yes.
Yeah.
And before birth, everything is data and information?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And most people in life are at this last statement, thinking without awareness.
Can be.
Yeah. That's where we spend a lot of time.
What's the difference between thinking and awareness then?
Awareness, isn't it? Awareness more like the resplendent, illuminated being? Mm. It's that ability to stand outside and see the thinking and see it all, see the eternal self, communion with the personal self. But then there's the thing and seeing the thinking. You can perceive the thinking from awareness's point of view.
Well, you can visualize it, you can image it, you can think it. But when you drop the thinking and you just have awareness, you are.
No way, you're dead.
I don't think so.
That's what we were talking about. You really don't want to turn off thinking. That's what a lot of people think. Still the mind is what everybody, meditation, and then you will see. And the truth is, I see a lot of meditators dying young and getting really sick, dropping dead of heart attacks, strokes, all kinds of.
I'm talking about that. I'm not talking about that.
So you can't stop the thinking. You stop your brain. Stop your brain thinking is not a terribly in charge way to live.
If you're thinking, you're not communing with your eternal being.
I'm not saying only think. I agree with you. Don't only think. But you can have both, can't you?
Yes, that's the whole idea. Thinking and awareness.
That's a personal self, eternal self community. Emergent from that is the resplendent awareness, which is, I think, what he's talking about. Behind every thought is that awareness. And behind every action, every do, every doobie, 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 as Frank Sinatra said.
That awareness of what?
Of the communion.
Okay.
Of the eternal self and communioning with the personal self.
Right, but it's an awareness of it. It's not a thinking of it.
But it's not a thinking, as he used to say, right?
Well, it's that when you let go of the thinking that you actually reunite the two. That's when you are in that communion.
Yeah, that, I think earlier in this
paracle,
didn't Roger recommend against that?
Yeah, that's how you kill the body. You disembody if you let go of the thinking part. It's dying. Blissful death, as they say. The death of bliss.
It was something like you said that, oh, I can't remember, but it was like,
but maintain that awakening until you communion together in your eternal life and world.
The awakening is all awakening. It's all awakening. The personal self, the eternal self, and the respondent and the self are all awake. The personal self is awake, and you don't let go of your personal self to have the awareness.
Andrew,
what were
you about to say?
What, are you asking me, Simone?
Hey, Andrew. He couldn't finish his sentence.
I'm trying to find it. Don't keep going, don't wait.
Yeah, the next one might explain.
Well, it's number 10. It says, do you understand that the personal, eternal are blended together between episodes of life, and that's where we're dead, and in that are lost, and are to be separated and communioned in life so as to bring life to both. In the same way, do not blend with your body, communion with your body, lest you lose both your body and your personal self. And then he says it's the awareness. Yeah, you have it all, but if you're thinking it, you lose the communion.
If you only think it, I think that's what you're talking about. You don't want to only think about it, because that's them just being the personal self.
I think the thinking is doable.
You have to be able to think.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was, I gotta find it though. Anyway, 7, 8, 10, I agree, those are all part of it.
I just thought he said, in 10, he says that when you have both, you communion. It's a communion self. So
yeah, you communion with thinking.
12, I think I'm thinking of 12. Be wrong. There's a time and a place for visual awareness. Time and a place for describing your images and awareness.
Right.
Time and a place for clear thinking, but awareness without thinking reunites both. He's been advising to think that. Thinking without awareness is little value.
So he's talking about earlier in that passage, visual awareness and describing your images and awarenesses and time and a place for clear thinking.
Yeah, maybe you could add something else.
I think the two support each other.
Well, these things,
yeah.
I'm puzzling, but I'd really like to be able to see if I can get at the principle he's trying to illustrate here. But he's saying there's a time and place for actually just two, time and place for visual awareness, because the way he rounds that up, and a time and place for clear thinking. And I think what he's saying then, that those are separate, time and place, and a time and place. They're not two together. But he said, from an awareness point of view, it doesn't matter if you're thinking, or thinking is not necessary, because awareness will unite, will reunite the thinking part of it as well. You know, it's clumsy language here, but he's saying, on the other hand, thinking without the awareness, which can happen, is of little value. A paramount is the awareness part of it, and then it collects everything together. It sounds like to me now is that awareness is paramount. And then it unites, that awareness unites thinking as well. Or unites with thinking.
I think that sounds right.
I think, you know, there's a lot of people who, there's another way, maybe the second part, thinking without awareness, is people who talk the talk but don't walk the talk. If you're an aware person, your thinking is underpinned and guided by your awareness. And if you're just talking the talk, you don't have much awareness.
But what you said, Patrick, I think was correct when you said that the awareness doesn't require the thinking to reunite.
Yeah, the thinking follows the awareness.
Right.
And you can still engage in thinking, but if it's without awareness, then it's of little value. Well, I'm okay with it now. I don't know about anybody else.
I'm okay
for you, Patrick.
I think we should go on and then come back to this and see if that's clear.
So who read that one?
Patrick did.
I think I did, yeah.
Okay, so it's your turn, Sharon.
The one I'm reading.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think I've stapled my papers funny. Hold on a second. I lost. There, okay. 13, awaken your eternal self. Do not awaken to your eternal self. It is frequently declared that awakening to your eternal self is a matter of grace, which is a kindness and improvement bestowed by the gods at their pleasure and cannot be prepared for or gained by merit. In fact, it is said you can do nothing to make your eternal self occur, and maybe that's true. However, we are speaking of awakening or transfiguring your eternal self and life. And there is a great deal you can do to prepare for that. Communioning your personal being, eternal being, and for bringing all of this about. Or, of course, you can withhold this from yourself and life. Got it? Should I read it again?
Yeah, why don't you?
Yeah. 13, awakening your eternal self. Awaken your eternal self. Do not awaken to your eternal self. It is frequently declared that awakening to your eternal self is a matter of grace, which is a kindness and improvement bestowed by the gods at their pleasure and cannot be prepared for or gained by merit. In fact, it is said you can do nothing to make your eternal self occur, and maybe that's true. However, we are speaking of awakening or transfiguring your eternal self in life. And there is a great deal you can do to prepare for that. Communioning your personal being, eternal being, and for bringing all of this about. Or, of course, you can withhold this from yourself in life. In other words, stay stuck.
Sure.
Close the door.
Yeah,
keep the door closed. Yes.
Yeah, keep the door closed.
Yeah.
Lock it. <Peter. laughs>
Okay. Is everybody okay with that?
Are we ready for 14?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Okay. 14. Are there things you can do to prepare for awakening and experiencing your eternal self? And steps you can take to actually awaken your eternal self? You bet. But remember, it is entirely your choice as to how you will awarefully enliven and live your communion self in life. This shows no special worthiness or privilege, for after awakening and communioning your eternal self, situations and events in your body and life will remain pretty much as before. Expect you will have given yourself the perspective and tools to see and deal with all things differently. From an expansive and intensive awareness of yourself and life. And that alone will change everything.
I guess that suggests that communing doesn't magically turn everything into sweetness and light. Circumstances and events might remain the same.
Yes, I understand too that it doesn't show a miracle, but it's magic anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, Andrew?
Oh, 15. Your eternal self is a companion, not a savior, and is not a guide or guardian. Your eternal self does not direct you or your life, and does not take over for you. In awakening your eternal self, you empower yourself. And besides, being a companion you can walk with and intimately talk with, just being with your eternal self gives you a greater, more expansive and extensive awareness of yourself to be and live. But of course, that being and living is up to you. Or you can certainly return to your life as usual. However, there is a real likelihood that once you experience your eternal self in life, as usual will no longer be for you. This is your process. It doesn't happen to you. And I guess to me, that last little line there, this is your process. It doesn't happen to you. It's the difference that I think that, at least to me anyway, he's talking about.
Yeah.
You have to actively participate. It's not going to just happen.
Yeah, it's like a constituent. And what did we used to say? Like, spirit exists but has no life until it has form or expression?
Yep.
And we think of that as this way. Mm-hmm. We'll just always stay in existence if you don't enliven it in your life.
And that you must, if you want this to be so.
Or quiescence, I guess, would be a good word for it.
Anybody else have anything to say about that one?
Not me.
Okay.
No.
Okay. So, Angela, will you read 16?
16. Another cosmic. As you awaken and experience your eternal self, do not surrender your personal self or try to become one with your eternal self. For you are to live and function as partners and companions, or not at all. That was written for me.
It looks like we're at a natural break point here. Number 17 leads us into a series of things that are considered to be taken together.
Yeah, it does. And that's a good place to stop for tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Wow, that's sure different than last week when we started this. We were running through it, and but boy, did we ever get a lot of discussion going tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Super duper. Thank you very much, everybody.
Okay. Good night for now.
Thank you.